evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. It is also available on Echolink W1DX-R, that's Whiskey 1 Delta X-Ray-Romeo. If needed, the secondary is 146.67, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. This net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to, number one, provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio, and number two, also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. TipsNet is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We'll ask you for those questions after everyone is checked in. The TipsNet is in three sections. The first, the open net with rounds of questions and comments, as I just described. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into net, please say, "This is," but then release the mic button and listen to ensure no one else calls at the same time. If no one has, then press the mic button and slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or a question. This is the TipsNet, and this is Net Control Station, KC1TWR. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango, Dave and Preston. No questions.
Here's Whiskey 1 Delta Charlie's Ox. I'm sorry, my mouth is so dry. W1GOP Mobile Groton. No questions.
Good evening. Here is Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich, Connecticut, and I have a question slash topic.
This is hopefully on our channel now. W1GOP Whiskey 1 Julie asking Papa. No questions. I'm mobile in Groton.
This is November Tango 1 Oscar, Jerry and Preston, I have one question.
Here is Whiskey 1 Romeo Papa Queen, Bob in Oakdale. Good evening, no questions at this time.
This is Kilo Charlie 1, Gulf Quebec Zulu, Dan and Montville, no questions.
This is November Kilo 1, Victor, Steve, Coventry, no questions.
Here is Whiskey 1, Foxtrot, Juliet Whiskey, Chuck, in the city of Groton. No questions. Good evening.
Good evening, Tim, and to the net, and thank you, Tim, KA6PDG. My question/topic of discussion is basically the 2-meter band in two categories. Lately, we've had a lot of tropospheric ducting, or some people have called it band enhancement. And it's kind of fun, and I guess sometimes it can be not fun, depending on what you're doing at the time. It sometimes can be difficult for nets. So the first question would be, do you have any interesting stories or recollections about band enhancement on 2 meters tropospheric ducting working great distances? We don't usually get sporadic E up here, although I think it can happen. Not positive. So there's question number one, working great distances or utilizing tropospheric ducting on 2 meters. Question number two, also having to do with the 2-meter band, and I'll reset here. And this is an area in which I have zero hands-on experience. On the 2-meter band, do you or do you have experience operating other modes, such as AM, CW, single sideband? I suppose we could throw in things like packet and stuff like that. And if you do operate or do have experience using other modes other than FM through repeaters, let's do it that way, anything other than FM through repeaters, so FM simplex or single sideband CW, etc. on 2 meters. Any war stories or tips for folks who might be new or might be thinking about getting an all-mode rig, for example? So that's it, Tim. Thank you. I hope I was clear on that. I'm half awake still. KA6PDG.
KC1TWR. where propagation has left you, he'd maybe talk to the station a lot further away than normal. His other side of the question, again on 2 meters, is anyone have any stories or experiences or tips they'd like to share about 2 meter, not the FM side, but AM, packet, etc., all modes other than FM. And Jerry, NT10, is curious how Bob made out with that elk log periodic antenna. So those are the questions on the table. Back to you.
Okay, I have no experience with all the modes on VHF. However, I did speak to a long time ago an individual in Pennsylvania on 2 meters. I believe it was thorough into these repeaters. It wasn't radio to radio. I mean, there was a repeater involved, but in order to get into that repeater, I had to kill the PL, match the PL from that particular repeater, and so long as the local repeater wasn't transmitting, I could make a contact. Like I said, that was one rare occasion that I can remember. Back to you. This is W1JOP.
Okay, thank you very much, Sean. And let's move to Dave, who was the first person on the list, but because of the process, is now not the first person that we've spoken to, but maybe he's got an answer to some of these questions or some opinions or maybe something else. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
Oh, good evening to all. This is K1DCT. Let's see. The elk antenna I have no experience with, and I'm sure Bob can give a very thorough report on that when it gets down to his turn. As far as Tropo, on 2 meter FM, I find it somewhat annoying because I have my radio here in the scan mode pretty much all day long, and it keeps wanting to pick up some other stuff, and you hear call signs you don't recognize and voices you don't recognize, so I find it a little annoying on the 2 meter FM side of things. I guess if I only listen to 5.2, maybe there's probably some action happening down there. But I don't have any experience on sideband on 2 meters, at least not that I can remember. But I do have a short, hi Kevin, a short story on Tropo on 2 meter FM though. Back when we kept our logs on paper, I had only been licensed, I wasn't even licensed quite a year. And listening on the 146.67 repeater in Groton, one evening, I heard a call sign, a four-land call sign. Turned out to be a guy from North Carolina. He was coming through the Groton repeater. And also talked with a guy coming from, the first guy was Port Harbor, North Carolina, and the second one was East Banks, North Carolina. So it was just kind of interesting. Of course, this was the days before there was PL on most of the repeaters. And there certainly wasn't on Groton back then. So it was just an interesting time for me. If I look back, I think I was a technician class. that's my Tropo story. Back to net, K1DCT.
Elk log periodic, and maybe he can answer Jerry's question on that, as well as any stories about band enhancements or 2-meter non-FM. W1RPQ, KC1TWR.
TWR, this is W1RPQ. Good evening, everyone. Let's start with the elk log periodic antenna. It arrived in about 5 days after I bought it. Took about 2 minutes to take the package apart and another 2 minutes to fully assemble the entire unit. Very rugged unit, nicely put together. Basically, you took it out of the box and you attached the mounting arm to it, and then you screwed in the elements to the sides, and you were ready to go. Took it out, put it up about 20 feet on a portable mast, and ran it through VHF, and it was 1.1 to 1.18 across across 2 meters. So pretty good response on that. I haven't been able to find any time to get out and do any long distance tests or anything, and I don't have any other fancy gear to do any other testing, but very impressed with the unit. Going to try to figure out what the gain is on it when I get some time on a weekend, but I would recommend it. I think it's going to come in handy for some soda things that I want to do, as well as I think it will work nicely with fox hunting with an attenuator on it. Let me reset. As far as 2 meter, well, I would say, let me see, the tropospheric, last year we had an episode with some good ducting, and I was able to make it down to New Jersey one evening and chat with folks down there, which was a lot of fun, and all the way up to, I think it was Marblehead, Massachusetts. So went in both directions that night, and I do remember the guy in Marblehead was making the same guy in New Jersey, so it was a about 15-20 minutes of a lot of fun. And the only other mode that I do with the 2 meter is Winlink, and I just use I've got a Winlink set up on my unit in the shack here, as well as two of my HTs. I have a MobileLink TNC that I can use with that and do Winlink transmissions. So those are my experiences with that. And let me send it back to Net Control. This is W1RPQ.
Good news on that that elk log periodic. Next, we're going to move to Dan and see what he thinks about Bob's report on the log periodic, as well as Kevin's question about band enhancement and 2 meter other than FM. KC1GQZ, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is KC1GQZ. Well, I actually was looking at that elk log antenna after you guys were talking about it a few weeks ago, and maybe down in the future I'll be able to pick it up. Looks like it would be a nice portable antenna, that's for sure. And on the 2 meter band for the enhancement and things like that, last Saturday morning I was up in the Norwich area, and it sounded like I was receiving a Virginia net on the output frequency of the Norwich repeater for a few minutes, because I didn't recognize any of the call signs, and they were referencing Virginia a few times. So I was only in that area for a few minutes, and then I lost it, but I didn't think that it was linked through the Norwich repeater, so I assume we were just getting that enhancement. That's all I have. KC1GQZ, back to Net Control.
Okay, well, Dan, I hate to disappoint you, but indeed there is a fellow from Virginia who is up here who has friends back there, and they did indeed link their repeater through Echolink up to the Echolink on the Norwich repeater. And as a matter of fact, last I heard, 9 o'clock in the mornings, at least Monday through Friday is my understanding, they actually have like a breakfast net or a morning net, and they're leaking the repeaters for that so that their friend up here and relative up here, who's up here just temporarily, can also join in on that net. So I think Kevin may know more about it than I do, so when it comes around to him, he may fill us in with more detail. In the meantime, let's move on to Steve. Any comments about the log periodic, about band enhancement situations, or 2 meters, with, other than FM, NK1B, KC1TWR?
NK1V? Let's see, first I will, oh, first thing, Dan, KC1GQZ, your audio is absolutely crystal clear coming in here. I don't know, just throwing it out there. Very, very nice audio on your, whatever you got going into the repeater. Yeah, but I appreciate Bob purchasing the elk antenna for our entertainment. I actually looked at those quite a bit. The arrow I'm talking on right now, directional, I kind of went back and forth. I almost got one, but I had never had one in my hand to actually see if it was a, you know, it's a tricky operation getting up on the tower, so I didn't really want to put something that was questionable up there. And it's good to see that it's something a little bit more rugged, and maybe something I'll think about. It's, I just am fascinated by him, so I'm really interested to follow up on actually, you know, getting some use on that thing. And yeah, it'd be good for and they also are good as to go into Kevin's topic of other modes on 2 meters and stuff. And I have done some boat activations. I'll usually, if I have time, I will do a little FM simplex playing around, see if I can find anybody on the common channels, but also try to set up to do a little horizontal and just scan around. I've never made a contact sideband 2 meter, and I actually have an antenna on this tower horizontal that I rarely use because I played around with it a little bit and just never had any real contacts and had too many other eggs in the basket. But other than that, yeah, but that elk is handy because it's carryable. I don't know if I would hike up a hill with it, but it's definitely something to have like camping and remote, because if it's relatively rugged and easy assembly, that's the thing, is something that's not be fumbling around with. Sounds like we're pretty good. I have, let me reset.
Normally, you would say you
cannot have a small antenna with high gain and a wide bandwidth and a small size. You have to give something up. In other words, it can be high gain with a good bandwidth, but it's got to be long, or it can be low, but you have to give up gain or bandwidth or size. But the elk antenna, being a log periodic, relies on that for its gain, for its bandwidth. And I'm thinking it'll maintain decent bandwidth, and it'll have a nice SWR, but the gain won't be as high as some antennas. So I think gain is where you'll have to compromise. But that's not bad. Non-contact FM, basically the only, or the non-FM contacts, I'm sorry, that I've made has been with the International Space Station using packet, and I guess that's FM too. About band enhancement on 2 meters, other than it does happen and it can get interesting. Back to net W1FJW.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. And we're at the bottom of the list here before we go around to the top again. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, open to all amateur radio operators. If you have a question, a comment, or a thought, or just want to check in, please come now with your call sign.
Cross-section of experiences, and I'll share a couple of ducting stories real quick in a moment. Also, my log periodic, my elk, is on order and is due to be delivered Monday. So I'll probably, the first time I set it up, want to have somebody to help me. Although several people have said to me, you may not even need help the first time because all the elements are a different size, but I probably would be more comfortable. Anyway, so maybe by next week's net or certainly the week after that, I'll be able to report my vantage point on the elk. Let's see, to Dan's question about the Virginia net. Yeah, I sat up. 9 o'clock in the morning, beg your pardon. They've been linking up the two through Echolink. It's the Williamsburg, Virginia Amateur Radio Club. And now this morning they weren't on, and in fact I had the HT on in the other end of the house, and I heard NA1CN putting out an inquiry as to, hey, where's the net? Are you guys on the air? So I don't know what happened this morning. Let me reset. But that's over on the Norwich repeater at 9 o'clock in the morning. I suspect it's temporary. Ducting stories real quick. One, I was on a hill. Actually, there used to be another repeater in Salem. If I remember right, it was 146865. And I was on the hill where that repeater was located, and I was calling somebody on the repeater or listening for somebody or something. And lo and behold, I got talking to a ham, and he was on a repeater in Georgia on the same frequency, on the same PL, or perhaps with no PL. And I was bringing up their repeater and hearing it, and he was bringing up our repeater here and hearing it. So we were cross-talking the repeaters. Story number two. And I'm going to say almost 22, 23, 25 years ago, I was living over on Lafayette Street, a couple of blocks west of where I live now, or from where I live now. And I used to be able to, with some regularity, hit the Mount Greylock repeater up in Massachusetts. But not only that, a couple of times I worked the Rensselaer College, right? Or is it Rensselaer University? Rensselaer College Amateur Radio Club during field day and the VHF contest. They would operate Simplex from the top of Mount Greylock for their contests, and that was kind of cool because it just happens that the Rensselaer College is the school that N1SPX graduated from. Story number three. When I lived in Coos Bay, Oregon, again, I was using the local repeater, and as I recall, I heard somebody come up with their call sign and ask if anybody was around, and I answered the person. It was an unfamiliar call sign, not from the seventh call area, but from somewhere else. And it turned out that they were 300 miles off the coast of Oregon, 300 miles west of Coos Bay, where I lived at the time, talking on the Coos Bay repeater. They were on a, I think it was a Princess cruise ship, standing on the deck with an HT, taking advantage of band enhancement to work the Coos Bay repeater from 300 miles out in the ocean. I thought that was way cool. 10-second comment, I got on HF this afternoon about 3:30, and both 40 meters and 20 meters were wide open. I had a lot of fun for about a half an hour, and then things simmered down. KA6PDG back to net.
Thank you, Kevin. Some interesting stories there. That's good. And glad that the AHF bands opened up, at least for a while, so you can enjoy yourself. That is good. Okay, let's move on to Jerry, see what he thinks about Bob's comments about the log periodic. NT10, KC1TWR.
Thank you, Tim, and thank you, Bob, and your ELF periodic report. And I look forward to also hearing Kevin's feelings once he's had his and some time to use it. However, regarding Kevin's two-meter questions, because I just got my first two-meter radio about a week ago and have only had a few QSOs using it the last week, one memorably with Dave, Kevin, and Hamilton, who, poor Hamilton, was receiving a lot of humorous harassment from Dave, but for our mutual amusement, I'd say that, based on my now vast two-meter experience, that I'm likely the least qualified individual in this net this evening to advise or comment on anything related to two-meter communications or its wave propagation. So on that note, this is NT10 and back to net.
Okay, very good. Thank you there, Jerry. And just because you keep in mind that we've been talking about the two-meter, necessarily the amateur radio. However, if you think about the FM stations we listen on the car stereo and so forth, aren't that far away from the two-meter. And I think it was about 3 years ago that I was driving along. I think I was on I-95, and all of a sudden I heard a station that was down somewhere in either Tennessee or something of that nature. It was an FM station, and the only reason I was able to pinpoint the locale was that they talked about certain car dealerships and food stores that are only located in that area. So that kind of propagation and skip was close to the Amish radio band, but that's another example. Okay, before we go around the list again, just wanted to have two items that I wanted to just bring up. One of them is that everybody kind of knows about the UV5R 2-meter El Cheapo radios and the fact that they have some spurious transmissions. Apparently, the Baofeng has come up with a new GT5R, which looks the same, I think covers the same frequencies and what have you, but has a much tighter restriction so that you don't get those spurious transmissions. I was wondering if anybody had heard about those. And the other question is that mobile radios, at any rate, very frequently have banks of memory. Has anybody actually used those banks to separate, for instance, I might put all my Aries radio stations with their nomenclature on one band, all my stations for this area in another band, all the stations up near my sister-in-law's up in Storrs in another band, or bank of memory. So those are my questions. But actually, about this round, the floor is wide open. Anything anybody would like to talk about, let's do it. So next we'll go to Bob, W1RPQ, KC1TWR.
TWR, this is W1RPQ. Banks and mobile radios, yes, I do use them. I have three normal ones set there. I have local, which I just have all our local repeaters in. I have all the Aries frequencies in a second bank, and then I just have an all. But I will change that if I'm going on a trip, and I'll just use some of the different software programs to just download all the repeaters between where I'm starting and where I'm ending. And I'll put those into a bank that I can call up as well. And that's pretty much all I have for this round. This is W1RPQ. Back to Nat.
Next, we'll move on to Dan, see what he has for the second round. KC1GQZ, KC1TWR.
This is KC1GQZ. So I wanted to say thanks, Tim and Kevin, for the explanation of what I was hearing last Saturday. So it makes sense. And the banks, I do. I have a couple of banks set up in my rig for the mobile. Down here in Connecticut, and then I have Virginia and New Hampshire where I vacation periodically. I have banks up there for that, just to keep them isolated. So that's all I have. This is KC1GQZ, back to net control.
Okay, thank you, Dan. And then next we'll move on to Steve, see what he thinks about my comments, or maybe he's got something else he'd like to bring up this evening. NK1B, KC1TWR.
NK1B. Let me see. Yeah, actually I have two. I had three and I sold one. I really wish I hadn't now. FT7900s, which have a huge banking setup. I don't even know how many banks are in there. And using the software, is it the one that anyways, using the software you have to purchase, I can't think of the name right now, but they you can, as a bank, so that when you have all your frequencies in, I don't even know how many frequencies in them, you can select through each bank which ones you want. So I have like a bank with just what I call a small repeater one, which has just got the, like, my favorite repeaters, like this one, and a handful of them just for when I'm driving around. I don't want too much going on. Then I have a whole, because those radios can have such a wide receive, I have a whole setup like just as a scanner, so I can pick different banks for that. And then when I go up, like, out west, out 90 or something to my son's, I have the repeaters that I know about out there. I have a separate bank for that. And same thing going up north and so on. I also have, just for legal sakes, for listening, the all MERS frequencies and the on one bank, and the GMRS, which I'm licensed for, frequencies on another bank, and the ocean ones or whatever that's called, the marine ones. Most of these are just for listening. I don't do anything on marine ones. But it's nice because you can shut different ones off and you can cross between the banks in the software very easily. And it's very easy to switch banks even while driving. It's a simple procedure. So it's kind of nice. It's something that I like. And I had my 7100 that I was using for, 2 meters at 440. And I like it. It's a nice radio, but it doesn't have the banking. It only has...
say this was probably in the mid-80s. I was up in Nashua, New Hampshire for some sort of training thing for work, and I don't remember why or what it was, but I took my handheld along because I think I was, for some reason, I was in a rental car, but again, that was quite a while ago. Either way, had my handheld and a mag mount, so I was just listening in the morning before the class started for the day, and I had the 7-3 repeater in there, and as I flipped through, I could actually hear the Norwich 7-3 repeater and several familiar call signs and voices, so and like this morning, it was kind of a foggy morning, so that's about it. The banks of frequencies. I don't have too much set up in these radios because I just bought this and a mobile, both the same this year. I think Dan and somebody else expressed, yes, I do use the banks, or I have used them. We used to take trips up to Maine quite often, and I wouldn't program everything along the way, but because while I'm driving on the highway, 5-2 is my go-to. But I would program frequencies for once we got somewhere. So Maine was one, and Virginia seemed like I made 3 years of successive trips down to Virginia, so I'd have stuff stored in a totally different bank. And of course, in that bank, it also included, you know, 5-2 and 5-5. So if somebody did want to go simplex, I didn't have to try and figure out how to get out of what bank I was in and which one I was going to. So I do find them handy. And the bank that I listen to most of the time does have some public service stuff in there. Back to net, K1DCT.
good, Kevin. And as a quick, I'll get to that in an announcement. Okay, I think we've answered the questions as best and as interestingly as we can for this evening. The TIPSNET does have three sections. I think we'll close up the first section, move on to section two, and then section three before we call it a night. So before we close the first section, any last comments or any last check-ins before we go into section two? Come with your call sign now.
NT10.
Jerry, NT10, please proceed.
Yes, I'm just curious if someone could comment. One of the things that I've not noticed is that there's very little traffic on the 440 bands. Is that just not that popular or used in this area?
Let's open that up to the floor. Anybody have any thoughts on the 440 band in this area?
Okay, it's Expedia.
Kevin, please proceed.
Yeah, Jerry, I would say that pretty much your assessment is right. It's just not used a lot in this area. You'll find 440 used a lot more in high-intensity population areas. You get down toward New York City or Boston or even Hartford or whatever. Out in the country, there don't seem to be as many 440 repeaters. Some folks do use it for remote base use. There are a couple of 440 repeaters up in the Vernon area, and I'm not part of the state, and I think Scrims used to have a 440 repeater down here in New London or Waterford or something, I don't recall. But I think the answer to your question basically is yes, at least for the sake of brevity. KZXPDG, back to Nat.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Currently the only 440 repeater Scrims has is their DMR repeater. N1NW, the Norwich repeater, does have a 440 side that's linked into the 2-meter 146.73 side. Back to you, Jerry. Does that help answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Tim and Kevin. At least it confirms what I've observed, and I didn't know if I had a problem on this end. So, again, thank you. And T10, back to Nat.
Okay, and a quick addition to that, on the Norwich repeater, how I said that it has a 2-meter and a 440 side, and they feed each other. You can tell which repeater somebody is called in on by when they release the mic and you hear the repeater make a little chirp noise, and it's usually two-tone, either doot-doot going up or doot-doot going down. And I've forgotten which is which, but one will tell you that it's the person called in on a 2-meter side, and the other one will say the person called in on the 440 side. I found that interesting. Okay, let's move on to the next section. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? Please call now. Okay, I think it was already mentioned that Bob Heil will be a guest at the Meriden Amateur Radio Club tomorrow evening, I believe starting at 7:30. I could be wrong on that. You should double-check me. Also this weekend, the Race Hunt Club will be having a fox hunt with a real-life person as bait. So I don't know if they've decided whether it's going to be Saturday or Sunday, but if you contact them through racehunt@groups.io, you can find out that way. And also Bob, WNRPQ, through emails out to the Tri-City and the Radio and the Race Hunt Club, has put his fox out. This is the kind of a fox where it's just a box and he leaves out for a few days and people can practice or just have fun finding the fox after the fox. That was a tune, wasn't it? Okay, let's move on to the third section. The third section of the net, is there any anyone that has that wishes to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. If so, please call now.
Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango.
KC1VX, I just have a comment about the previous section.
KA6PDG, request after net with Steve.
Steve, do you acknowledge?
And K1V, roger that.
Golf/tipsnet. City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net, and their meeting, they have their meetings on the second Tuesday of each month at 7 p.m., usually at the American Red Cross office, but lately they've been doing it on Zoom. To get the Zoom details, a couple days before the meeting, go to www.tricityarc.net. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is KC1TWR wishing everyone a good evening in 73.